Are we alone in the cosmos? It's a question scientists and curious minds have been asking for centuries. But while the search for extraterrestrial life continues, the way we ask this question says as much about us as it does about the universe. In the new book, The Possibility of Life, Science, Imagination, and Our Quest for Kinship in the Cosmos, Jamie Green talks to writers, scientists, and other imaginative people about what our search for aliens tells us about being human. Jamie is a writer, essayist, and teacher who also serves as series editor for the Best American Science and Nature Writing. She's written for Slate, Popular Science, and the New York Times Book Review, among other publications. And she joins us now to share five big ideas.
Hi, I'm Jamie Green. I'm the series editor of the Best American Science and Nature Writing, a lecturer at Smith College, and the author of The Possibility of Life, Science, Imagination, and Our Quest for Kinship in the Cosmos. Here are five key insights from my book. Insight 1. Scientific knowledge puts limits on our imagination. During the European Renaissance, new discoveries filled the cosmos with possibility. When Copernicus realized the Earth wasn't the center of the universe, when Galileo discovered that the wandering stars were planets and that the Milky Way, a smear of light in the sky, was actually full of stars, the universe seemed full of potential. Storytelling about life on other worlds exploded. It was only thanks to scientific discoveries that other worlds could be imagined. Before Copernicus and Galileo, writes anthropologist John Trapagan, Europeans couldn't really imagine worlds beyond the solar system, let alone worlds other than Earth inhabited by other intelligent creatures. It wasn't just that they didn't have the necessary facts. Instead, Trapagan writes, they were limited by the boundaries a culture places on what is imaginable. Our inventive abilities can really only extend so far. Before Copernicus and Galileo, people weren't imagining aliens on other planets because other planets weren't understood as places where a person, alien or human, could be. But once other worlds were made available to imagination, these stories came in like a flood. Insight 2. But imagination can stretch. When we imagine extraterrestrial life, we push past the limits of scientific knowledge. It's like going out on a limb and testing its strength, then looking back at ourselves from a new distance. Imagining alien life requires asking questions about life on Earth. How did it arise? Why is it the way it is? Are we special? And what would that mean? What is our responsibility with the intelligence and technology that we have? Imagination isn't unscientific. It drives every hypothesis and prediction, every leap and act of synthesis that moves us from the unknown toward knowing. Scientists imagine things every day. They imagine a possible chemical pathway and test it. They imagine the surface of a distant planet about which hardly anything is known and render it as artwork. They imagine the evolutionary lineage of a parallel Earth, the near future, the outcome of unprecedented events. And so then fiction is like a big stretch for that skill, to give our scientific imaginings better range of motion. All alien stories are in some way about the tension between looking for kinship and seeking strangeness. Anthropocentrism versus the desire to be able to imagine something else. Imagining aliens means imagining not just physiology, but impulses and desires too, maybe even inner life. So the leap of faith isn't just cognitive, but empathetic. There's a cosmic humility to be found in understanding that we're just one of life's infinitely diverse potential expressions. Even if we can't imagine truly strange, truly different life, we push against the limits of our imaginations when we try, and in doing so, we stretch them a little farther. Insight 3. The cosmos is way weirder than we expect it to be. An important idea guiding our exploration of the universe is the Copernican principle. Just like Copernicus showed that the Earth isn't the center of the solar system, In the centuries since, we've learned that not only is the solar system not the center of the galaxy, but our galaxy isn't the center of the universe, and our universe may not even be all there is. The Copernican principle reminds us to never assume humanity is special. But that doesn't mean we, or the Earth, or the solar system, are average. In line with the Copernican principle, the assumption before we'd found planets around other stars was that our solar system would turn out to be average. But when scientists started finding exoplanets, that model had to be abandoned. The first planet found around a sun-like star, 51 Pegasi b, is 150 times more massive than the Earth, about half the mass of Jupiter, but it orbits closer to its star than Mercury orbits the Sun. More of these hot Jupiters were found soon after. They're not particularly common, it turns out. They're maybe 1% of planets. But being huge and having very short orbits, they were the easiest and fastest to find. And they told us that our models of planet formation couldn't just be based on what we knew around the Sun. We need to remember that as rigorous as we may be, our imaginations are shaped by what's familiar. When we think of life on Earth, we think first of life we see, animals and plants, maybe fungi if we're feeling expansive. But most of life on Earth is nothing like that. Most of life on Earth is actually simple single-celled organisms, bacteria and archaea, and they break so many of our assumptions about life, living in environments we'd assume aren't habitable, like inside rocks or in toxic sludge, subsisting on energy from impossible sources like inorganic minerals or radiation. The cosmos is similarly full of surprises. Insight 4. We might never know when it's aliens. In the fall of 2020, word came that a sign of life had been discovered in the clouds of Venus. Researchers reported the detection of phosphine, a simple molecule consisting of a phosphorus atom and three hydrogens, in Venus's clouds, and that they had ruled out all non-biological mechanisms that could account for its presence. The mood among the scientific community was a mix of excitement and skepticism, and the skepticism eventually won out. As the story faded from public awareness, further research, in parallel to the original study and in reanalysis of its data, showed that not only was this not a sign of life, but the phosphine detection may have been a false alarm entirely. And yet, aside from some overzealous news headlines, this is exactly how science is supposed to happen. Tentative claim, rigorous investigation, copious caveats and qualifications. We get closer and closer to an answer, but especially in terms of the search for alien life, a decisive aha may never come. Historian of science Stephen J. Dick warns against expecting an immediate discovery. He says that's not really how science works. What, in retrospect, may look like a eureka finding actually always involves at least three distinct stages, what Dick labels as detection, interpretation, and understanding. And when it comes to the search for life elsewhere, at least with our current technology and what's coming in the next few decades, the possibility of decisive understanding is thin. JWST may be able to detect biosignatures in exoplanet atmospheres, but that just means molecules that on Earth, with geochemistry and biology that we know, tend to go along with life. Even a radio signal might not be decisive. 1977's WOW signal, detected by the Big Ear radio telescope in Ohio, was never explained, nor explained away. We hope for a decisive discovery, and that's what we see in movies and books. But this is where the scientific likelihoods and the fictional imaginings diverge. Barring the kind of, "Hello, Earth, this message is for you," transmission that Carl Sagan imagined in Cosmos, or the dramatic landing of the Vulcans in Star Trek First Contact, we may be forever left with maybe and what if. Insight 5. Our search for aliens is really about humanity. One of my favorite tropes in alien stories is the alien telling humanity what they think of us. In Contact, the alien tells Ellie that love is very important to humans, and you humans have a certain talent for adaptability. In Octavia Butler's novel Dawn, an alien tells a human that her species is intelligent and hierarchical. It's a terrestrial characteristic. And in the context of other species, Star Trek's humans understand themselves by contrast. Vulcans are logical, Ferengi are avaricious, Klingons are warlike. Aliens give us a new context within which we can understand ourselves. But it's not only those explicit comparisons that let us learn about humanity. In trying to understand ourselves, we're stymied by the fact that this is the only planet with life that we know. With nothing to compare ourselves to, no real context within which to situate our knowledge, we're left to imagine other possibilities. Every alien story is, in its way, a story about humans and life on Earth. Alien ecologies are a way of imagining other paths evolution could have taken. Alien intelligences are ways of imagining how else a person could be. And especially when it comes to stories about super advanced aliens, we're trying on possible futures for ourselves. Sometimes it's aspirational, like the utopia of Star Trek. Sometimes it's a cautionary tale. Often, it's a way of testing out the implications. What happens if this is where we're heading? What are the ethics of such a future? We look to the stars, to the future, and we hope or wonder, that could be us too. And so the real-life search for aliens is the search for this sort of understanding. The anthropologist and nature writer Lauren Isley writes, "There is nothing more alone in the universe than man. The fact that we are the only ones on Earth who seem to long for this kinship makes its absence even more painful." Finding alien microbes would help us understand why Earth's biology is the way it is. Extraterrestrial evolution would help us find the limits of Darwin's vision. And encountering alien intelligence, whether through a signal, artifacts, or a message meant for us, would finally give us someone to ask, "What's it like to be you?" Which is a way of asking what it's like to be ourselves. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoy the book.
Thank you, Jamie. That was Jamie Green with 5 big ideas from The Possibility of Life, Science, Imagination, and Our Quest for Kinship in the Cosmos. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have an amazing day.